Can you hear the music?
I can.
I love it. Not a lot of people can hear it. I just made.
Very good.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. My name's Dick Frost, obviously, and shout out to Sejin Boychuk, who made that incredible intro, outro music. And, you know, on this week on the podcast, I'm kind of fanboying over here a little bit, you know. We got Kathy Kanzora from the History of the 90s podcast, like, you know, a podcast that I've been listening to since long before this podcast was even a thought. So, you know, I'm pretty excited, and I'm a little nervous. I'm sweating over here.
Oh, no. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous.
Nah, I you say don't be nervous, but to me it's like meeting, like, Matt Sundin or something.
Oh,
like,
come on. That's crazy, thanks.
How's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'd reached out to you and asked you if you were interested in coming on, and I didn't think I'd ever hear from you, let alone hear from you that quickly. And then when you said yeah, you know, I was like, okay, cool. And how it usually works best for me, right, is like, I work over 100 hours a week and I'm on call 24/7, right? So I never know what my schedule is going to be from 1 hour to the next. And I had like a spare couple hours in the afternoon getting ready to go on a project that I'm set to go on here tomorrow. And, you know, I looked at the time, I'm like, man, I wonder. I wasn't going to ask, but I'm like, I wonder. So then I sent you the message and you got back to me. And I was
and here we okay. are.
And here we are.
We're yeah, that's like, pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm fanboying is what.
Oh, that's very sweet of you, but no need to fanboy.
Oh man, so like, history of the 90s, like, what an incredible decade, a decade that changed mm-hmm. the world, right?
And yes, that's what we call it. Yep.
How did you come up with that? Like, what made you want to start a podcast, I guess, in the first place? And why history of the 90s? Why not like history of the 80s, you know, like,
which would also be a good decade to cover. And my podcast airs on Chorus Media at Curious Cast. They have a network of podcasts, and now they do actually have an 80s podcast hosted by someone else, which is also really cool to listen to. But I focused on the 90s because in the 90s, I was a reporter at a radio station. So my background is journalism and broadcast journalism in particular. So all through the 90s, I was working as a radio reporter in Toronto, and I covered a lot of really big, crazy stories. And even the ones I wasn't covering, like when you're in a newsroom, you're sort of immersed in those stories as they're happening. And it just always struck me after I got out of journalism, because in the 2000s, I shifted into doing like public relations in the Ontario government. So, but I always looked back on the 90s as a time when so many crazy things happened. And I just thought, wow, like, is it just because I was there experiencing it, or was it really a crazy time? And I think it really was a crazy time, to be honest. So fast forward to, you know, the early 2000s when podcasting started. I was a listener from day one because my background in radio, I've always, you know, enjoyed audio as a way of learning and listening whether it's music, but also like just the old school radio documentaries and that sort of thing. So when podcasting came out, like, I was immediately in love and listened for a number of years. Like, everyone was blown away when Serial came out, the first sort of true crime, big, you know, Serial yep. podcast that everyone got into podcasting at that point. I'd already been listening for a number of years, but that was the first time there was something like that. And I thought, oh my gosh, I would love to do something like that. I wasn't working in radio anymore. It was kind of ancient history, but one of the big stories that I covered, and sorry if I'm rambling, jump in.
Oh, nice.
So one of the big stories that I covered in the 90s was the Paul Bernardo murder trial in Toronto. For your listeners and viewers, if you're not from Ontario, you might not be familiar with the story, but it was a horrible murder of several teenage girls in Ontario. And it was a huge story in 1995 was the trial at the same time the OJ Simpson trial was happening. And we always called it kind of like Canada's OJ trial, because it was the trial. It wasn't on TV like the OJ trial, but it was the one that everyone every day would get the newspaper and read, you know, front to back, every story that was in there. There'd be pages of coverage about the trial and what was happening. And I covered that and from start to finish. And I saved all my little cassettes from all of the interviews and the stories that I did during the trial. And then after Serial came out, I was like, I have all my tapes from the Bernardo trial. Maybe I could make something or do something similar to what Serial did, but with looking back at the Bernardo trial. And that's how it all started.
And that was an episode, I think, not long ago, like last year, maybe you did an episode of Bernardo.
Yeah. So initially I started my own podcast just by myself, not with Curious Cast. And it was just called The History of 1995, because that was the year of the Bernardo trial. And I thought, at first I thought I'll just do a podcast about the Bernardo trial. But then I thought, well, there's so many other things that happened in 1995. The OJ trial, of course. But in Canada, there was the Quebec referendum.
Yep. Let's know that
1995.
One.
Yep. So that was another big story. And then in the US, there was the Oklahoma City bombing. There was in Israel, the prime minister was assassinated. And there were just a whole bunch of other things that happened in 1995 that always struck me that that was one year in particular that a lot of crazy things happened. So what a cool concept to just cover all of those stories in a podcast. So so the Bernardo part was 6 or 8 episodes. And then I went into doing other stories from that year. And then eventually when I hooked up with Curious Cast, we expanded it to the history of the 90s because, you know, to be a little more inclusive to the decade, we didn't want to leave any years out. And then, so now we've covered stories, not just from Canada, but we do tend to do Canadian stories. And then, you know, anything that's happened in the 90s, whether it's news or sports or pop culture or movies, whatever, like that's the fun thing is that I can really shift around and cover all different things.
Yeah, I've learned a lot off your podcast, actually. Like, I had no idea because I was probably too young, and also it didn't happen here. But the James Bulger thing, you know, I had no idea. And a lot of people I've talked to about it had no idea about it either. Like, wow, I didn't even hear about that, right? And like, yeah, and it was, we get talking about it. Hey, you listen to this one? Hey, you listen to this one? And they're like, yeah, I did. And Gord from the Second Act podcast, I got him into your podcast too. And him and I, we talk about our podcast. We bounce back things back and forth off each other. And then, well, what Kathy said in this episode of the 90s, right? And then about what it was about and stuff. And, you know, I love it. And one of my coworkers, huge diehard serial killer podcast listener, or anything to do with serial killers, I got her into your podcast.
Oh, nice.
The Scarborough Rapist and a few others, right? You know, I think you did one on the Long Island Lolita.
Yes, I think that was our very first episode where we looked at not only that case, which involved Joey Buttafuoco, that's the name a lot of people remember, and his big, he had these big like parachute pants, or I can't remember what they were called, not parachute pants, something else. But anyway, so we looked at that case, but also tabloid television and tabloid news in the 90s was really big. So we had all those shows like Inside Edition and Hard Copy, and they were on after the news in the early evening around like maybe 6:30, 7:30, and they would do like, it was kind of like TMZ, but it was more, a little more news focused as opposed to just like celebrity gossip and that sort of thing. So but they loved covering true crime stuff. So and it was just like something would happen and then it would be, the news cycle in the 90s was very different than it is now. Things would last forever, it seemed like, because now we have so much coverage and saturation so quickly that a story comes and goes in a week, and then you're like, what happened to that story? But in the 90s, it would be months. You would just get drips and, you know, here and there of a story, and like today one more new thing, and then the next day another new thing. And so it was like everyone watched Hard Copy or whatever to see, oh, what happened today in the whatever Pee Wee Herman case or whatever it was. So that the Long Island Lolita story, it looked at her, that case, but also how it was sort of informed by this whole new, you know, tabloid TV coverage that was so, so popular.
Yeah, it's like that with the internet now, right? Like, I'm on TikTok. I got 100,000 followers on TikTok and 45 on Instagram. And, you know, if you stay off the internet for a day or two, you're so far behind, right?
Yeah, it's like, so true.
You know, it just, and that's why also, you know, the boomer generation was one of the longest spanning generations there was. And it goes in terms of technology and the way the world works, right? And that boot generation lasted, what, 40 years? 40 years? Now the generations are getting smaller, right? Look how small, even the millennial generation is pretty big compared to Gen Z and Gen Alpha, right? Like right. They go as the technology goes, right? Yeah. So, you know, we're so saturated and it moves so quick now, right? Like it's insane. Like I said, I take 2 days off of not going on TikTok and everyone's like, oh my God, where you been? Oh, it's only been 2 days. What are you talking about? Oh, it felt like a week. No.
Yeah. Trends come and go really quickly now. So So if you don't like a trend, that's the good news. You just wait a couple of weeks or whatever and the trend will be over. So
absolutely.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So for anyone that's any of my listeners here that are wondering, you know, hey, where's this guy going with having Kathy on, you know, this isn't blue collar. Well, Kathy and I have a very blue collar connection. So, you know, her husband, I think you said it was.
My dad was a steam fitter his whole life. He passed in 2018. So he was a steam fitter. Then my brother became a steam fitter. He just retired last year.
Good
now
for him.
His two sons are both, one just became a full-fledged journeyman. The other one is an apprentice still. So we have two more steam fitters in the family, and I come from a long, like, it seems like everyone in my parents' circle were in a trade. And it was funny, 'cause I was just talking to my husband about it recently, that we used to refer to everybody by what their job was. So it was like Peter, the carpet layer, or Frank, the electrician, or, you know, Solly, the glazer, like everyone was connected to their job. Like it's funny. I don't hear that anymore, but I was remembering Peter, the carpet layer the other day. 'Cause as a child, I thought that was his actual name, but anyway, so yes, there is a lot of blue collar in my family. And now my husband is an engineer, but he works in oil and gas. So
shout out oil and gas.
Yeah.
No, that's incredible. So there you go. There's the blue collar oil and gas connection.
We are connected. And, yep.
You know, we're not straying. We're not straying too far away from the blue collar side of things.
Absolutely.
You know? We've had a few non blue collar people on the show. You remember Ed the Sock from the late 90s? Of course. Yeah, you should do an episode on Ed the Sock.
Absolutely.
He's all over Twitter and.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Stuff like that. I've had Ed the Sock on the podcast. And,
nice.
Yeah. It was interesting. That's for sure.
And when you were interviewing him, because I'll have to go back and look, were you talking to the sock or were you talking to the guy who was the sock?
I was talking to the sock.
Wow.
Yeah. I asked him if he wanted to come on as the sock or come on. I don't want to say his real name, but if he wanted to come on as that guy. And he's like, let's just stay as the sock. I'm like,
that's funny.
That's perfect, man. That's perfect. I don't know if you know anything about the guy behind the sock.
Not but, really.
It's really interesting, actually. You should look it up someday. It's quite fascinating to see, you know, the socks, and I don't want to get into politics, but the socks' political point of views, and then you go and you read up on the guy, and it's like two totally different people.
Oh, really? So it's like it's a little bit like his alter ego.
Yeah. Hey, he could have also changed as a person over the course of 30 years, too, right?
True. So, true.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting, though. So, yeah, I'm just excited. I'm going to say it again. I'm excited to have you on, you know, because like I listened to your podcast long before I started one, long before I even thought about I wanted to do it, you know, and I followed you on Twitter and I followed you wherever I could. And, you know, I tried to keep up to date, you know, notifications set for your podcast. It pops up History of the 90s in the summertime. I get real sad when you take the summer off. So it's like, well, you know, summer's here, I guess. And then when that notification pops back up, History of the 90s has got a new episode out. It's like, oh, summer's over. Here she is, right?
That's great. I'm glad. Sometimes when you're doing a podcast, you know, you do see the stats of how many people are listening, but you don't see the faces. Yeah. So it's kind of, it feels like you're like, is anyone actually listening? And does anyone actually care? So it's nice to hear that. I do love, that's why I answered you, because I do love hearing from listeners. I get messages, you know, not all the time, but frequently. And I always try to respond because I know what it's like, because I'll reach out to podcasters that I listen to, and if it looks like they haven't even read it, I get a little heartbroken. But occasionally when they respond, I'm like so excited. I listen to Anderson Cooper has a podcast right now about grief, which is not maybe what people think he would be talking about. It's very different from, you know, what you see on CNN with Anderson Cooper. And anyway, so around Christmas time, I listed it as one of my favorites from last year. And I posted it on my Instagram, and then he shared it on his Instagram.
That's and it awesome.
Was one of the best Christmas presents I got last year, because I was so touched that he actually, you know, he seems to really respond to like whenever anyone's sending him messages and stuff. So
absolutely.
Busy guy, but takes the time. So it does. It means a lot to me. So I always try to, you know, do the same to my listeners when they reach out.
Definitely. I love that. I've reached out to you on Twitter at one point. I want to use to call Twitter. I'm mm-hmm. still going to call it Twitter. You can't take that away from me. So as old folks go, you know, it's Twitter.
Yeah.
So I reached out there to you a few years ago. I guess you had done the episode and I just didn't see it. I was like, hey, you should do an episode on the Rwandan genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And you tweeted back. You're like, hey, that's a great idea, right? And I never seen it pop up anywhere. And then when I reached out to you like a couple days ago on Instagram,
yep.
I brought it up and you're like, hey, I did back in 21. I was like, oh, yeah. Well, 21, you know, the world was, you know, pretty busy. And
That's true. That was, yeah, there are gaps, I think, in everyone's memory from those couple of years. So that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, during that time as well, also, right, I was building my social media, right, too. And I started it in August of 20. And I wrote her hard for like 2 years, right? I just kept going and going and doing as much as I can. And I put a lot of things to the side to do that. Right. And I was working a lot too and doing this and the podcast wasn't a thing yet. But, you know, I eventually started catching up on all the stuff that I miss. I go back and I listen to even older episodes now of yours that I forgot about or I really enjoyed that I want to listen to again, you know, now I got to go back and listen to the Rwandan story because, you know, I love your voice. I love how you tell a story. And, you know, that story in general is just an incredible, it's sad, but it's an incredible story.
It really is. And I think, you know, if you weren't growing up in the 90s or you're not a history buff or whatever, you might not know it. So it is worth a listen if it's something you're not familiar with, because it's hard to imagine that something that horrific happened not that long ago. But, you know, I guess in light of the different horrors that are happening around the world today, maybe it isn't that hard to imagine, actually. But still, it's something worth listening to for sure.
I reached out to Paul Rosessa Bagina to come on the podcast.
Oh, really?
A few months ago, but he, I can't reach out to him directly. I think he just got out of prison or something.
I was
going to
say, he might be, yeah, he was in the news recently because he had been, I guess, tricked into flying to the somewhere. And when he arrived, he was arrested. So it was, I didn't know if he was out of prison now. So that's good.
Yeah, I had to message his daughter, right?
Oh, okay.
And so she never read it, you know, dagger to the heart a little bit, but not really.
Yeah.
If they answer, they answer. And that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, right now I'm trying to get a hold of Mike Rowe. I want Mike Rowe on my podcast, Blue Collar Podcast, very blue collar guy, right?
And
I tag him almost every day all over social media. Mike Rowe, yeah. I'm this far into the podcast now, hey? It's still not too late to come and record this number podcast with me, hey? And I tag him and I comment and, oh, yeah, he's got to see it at some point, right?
Yep. You just keep trying. And it always does, you know, like you were saying, you reached out to me, you weren't sure if I would answer it. Hey, doesn't hurt to try, right? That's what I always say when I'm looking for people to interview for the podcast as well. Like, I'll reach out to anybody and if they don't answer, they don't answer, right? It's not, I've there's only been a couple of times where people have said like, how did you get this email? And why are you, you know, like kind of in a accusatory or threatening way, they were kind of mad that I reached out to them, but whatever. It's not hard to track people down on the internet these days.
No,
for sure.
Not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Actually, if I learned anything from Ed the Sock, it was like, hey, always try, right? You never know. And when I reached out to him, I said, you know, I didn't think you'd answer. But he followed me back before I even asked him. Long before I asked him, he followed me back on TikTok. That is cool, right?
Oh, that's very cool.
And then I asked him, and we were talking about it. He's like, hey, man, one thing I've learned about, you know, interacting with celebrities is the funniest. Sometimes the funniest part is trying. It's funny, right? Like, this person's never going to answer me back. Send a message, they answer back.
I know. You never know when you're going to catch them, what they're doing or whatever. But the one person that I just randomly messaged through Instagram I didn't hear back from that I wanted to was Tom Green, because I don't know if you remember the Tom Green show. And then I guess he moved from, I guess he was in Ottawa on like cable 10 in Ottawa or whatever, and then went to MTV and whatnot. But funny guy, like hilarious. Like he was doing the Jackass kind of stuff long before Jackass was doing it, I think. But, anyway, I just thought, oh, I'm just going to see if I can get him on to talk about the 90s, but he didn't respond. So
Tom Green's over on TikTok and he goes live all the time.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Oh yeah. He's usually pretty drunk when he's on live, but like he's still there. And if you can get his attention, he'll talk to you.
Okay, cool.
He's there. Someone who just followed me back actually on TikTok was Red Green.
Oh, really?
And I asked Red Green if he wanted to come on the podcast, you know, blue collar as well. Funny side of it. He's like, I don't do public appearances anymore. I hung up the suspenders. He's like, I'll follow you back though. And I'm like, oh, cool. Well, hey, that's something, you know, like,
that's absolutely cool.
You know? Yeah. And the podcast is actually sponsored, and the guy who sponsors the podcast, I had him on, and I told him a guest that I wanted to have on, someone from the Deepwater Horizon accident. And he's like, well, leave me with the name and I'll see if I can find the phone number for you. So I did. And 8 hours later, he had the phone number.
Wow.
And I called him. He lives in Texas. I called him and he's like, oh, I don't usually do things like that. I'm very, you know, I like to lay low and stuff. And he's like, call me back in 2 weeks. Leave this with me. Call me back in 2 weeks. I called him back and he blocked my number. I call him every chance I get still from other phones, you know, just he didn't tell me no, right? So he's hung up. So I'm like, you know what? I understand, like, you know, people died. It's a sensitive subject. Maybe he doesn't want to talk about it. That's cool too, right? I just want to hear that. Just tell me no, straight up. Just say no, right? And so I call from other numbers and whatnot. Never an answer. He knows. It's a Canadian number. He probably knows who's calling, right? So it's all right. And it's cool. I try not to bug him too much. I'll call him once every 2 or 3 weeks, right? So, hopefully one day he's
going to keep trying.
Like, man, I appreciate your consistency, how persistent you are. Let's give it a go. But the guy who sponsors my podcast said, if I get him on, that's what I have to do in person. He will fly me there to do it. He will fly me there and put me up in the hotel to do that podcast in person. So.
Wow. So there's a good incentive to keep trying.
Absolutely. I've never been to Texas before. So
I have been to Texas 2 times, and I would have to say, you have to go there to understand Texas. It was like, I went to the Alamo and I was like, oh, I understand Texas now. I get it, because it's its own country. Like it's its own, it's more than Quebec and Canada. Like it's the same idea though, where it's very different from the rest of the United States. And once I was there, I understood it and respected Texas that much more.
Well, Alberta is often referred to as the Texas of Canada,
right?
And I think you'd have to come to Alberta to understand it too, right?
Yeah.
But like Alberta is pretty different from the rest of Canada. We just want to be left alone, and you know, this is where, you know, the opportunity to do anything you want is here. Ontario is very overpopulated. Southern Ontario, anyway, is very overpopulated. You know, you're competing with. If you're trying to look for a job, you're competing with millions of people. You're competing with millions of people in the housing market. You know, it's still pretty crazy. And, you know, one of the biggest reasons why my wife and I, we decided to move out here, you know, you can make more money, and the money's not really the biggest part of it.
Right.
It's that, you know, I wanted a job. It paid good. I competed with, you know, right now there's 87,000 vacant jobs available in Alberta, right?
Really?
And and the oil field's busy. It's probably one of the busiest times the oil field's seen in a long time. And, you know, so it's really busy. I'm competing with me, myself, and I here. you know, like it's other people try to get in too, but you know, with the labor shortage and stuff like that, it's not really much of a competition, right? And so it's good to get a good paying job quite easily.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I don't really know what your housing market is like, but it's awful here in, I'm near Toronto. I'm not in Toronto, but it's just terrible in terms of affordability, right? So I don't know what it's like in Alberta these days, but I'm sure it's can't be much worse than it is here.
It's cheaper. It's significantly cheaper. Calgary's expensive. I lived in Calgary for a bit. It's expensive. But Edmonton, like, right now I'm paying $1,650 a month for a 3-bedroom house, like just over 2,000 square feet. I got a big, beautiful backyard, double car garage. You know, it's a beautiful house, right? And then I'd say if I wanted to rent or buy that house in Ontario, Southern Ontario, that house would be well over $1 million. Just for the land alone, the backyard is big. To rent, you're probably looking at over $3,000
for sure.
Right, and you know I'm enjoying it. $1,650, you know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really great. My daughter is in university in Toronto, and she rents a 2-bedroom apartment. That's, I don't know the square footage, but it's a 2 tiny bedrooms, little kitchen and a living room. And it's $2,850 a month. And it's not in a nice area. It's not in the greatest area. I mean, it's close to school, but it's there's also a lot of, you know, things that I you need to be looking over your shoulder if you're out walking at nighttime for sure. But so that's what you get in Toronto for almost, you know, $3,000.
Nice. Not nice. Yeah, nice. Speaking of, I brought it up, but speaking of the podcast being sponsored, you know, the podcast is, do you know what viscosity is?
Like when it comes to oil?
Oil, anything, the viscosity of anything. But
yes.
So in your own words, what do you think viscosity is?
That, like, this is embarrassing because I should know, because my husband worked at the Petro-Canada refinery near here in the lubricant department. And I'm sure viscosity is a big issue, but I would say like the thickness of the oil.
Yeah. Like the thickness.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Liquid we're talking about.
Yeah. Like the viscosity, the thickness of the fluid, the liquid, you know?
Right.
So the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. The Mudman deals in the thickness or the viscosity of things. You know, he supplies, you know, high tech tools, or not quite, maybe high tech for now, what they compared to what they used to have. But he explained it on the podcast he was on. And you know, for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, you know, the Mudman's got your back. www.mudmarket.com. yeah, the Mudman is solid. I can't talk enough about how amazing he is. Honestly, he's come through for me a lot, whether he knows it or not. You know, the headset, the microphone before him, we were doing it with AirPods, and you know, we're about to find out here if this thing dies. But like,
well, thank you, Mudman. That was very nice of him to sponsor your show.
I love the guy. You know, solid individual. He just was recently married a few months back, and yeah, I was talking to him the other night there, and he was dappered up. He looked so good. He was out at an event or something like that, so he looked good. I told him he looked good, and he got a little bit, he blushed a little bit. You know, so, yeah.
And we're recording this the day before Valentine's Day, so just a reminder to you, and I don't know when this is going to air, that don't forget your sweeties on Valentine's Day.
Oh, absolutely. This will air first week of March.
Okay.
Yeah, we're like,
so Valentine's will be long past by then. But anyway.
Yeah. Hey, I hope
if you guys missed it, you still have time to get your sweetie something.
Yeah. Hey, if you're listening to this in the first week of March and you did miss it, you messed up. But you got to go to Costco right now, get the most expensive pair of flowers, bundle of flowers. Whatever you want. Bouquet.
That's it. That works. Yep.
That's the word. Go get a nice bouquet of flowers. Make sure she's not allergic to them. Get some chocolate. Make sure she's not trying to lose weight or something, because chocolates will send a bad message.
True.
So, you know, get that. And if you got kids, you got daughters.
True.
And they're young. get your daughter something too, because they're looking at you. They're looking at you. Yeah. And I got two daughters myself. One is 6 and 1 is 4.
Nice.
And if I don't get them something, I'm there. My youngest is going to hurt me. So yeah.
Why is the youngest always the one that's going to hurt you? Because in my family, I have two daughters as well. And the younger one is the one you got to watch for.
This one was born 2 days prior to the pandemic. She spent her entire entire toddlerhood and infancy in quarantine or lockdown or whatever. And, you know, Grayson Magaha says it best. They sat with their parents all day, who were filled with rage that they couldn't go to work, and they were watching the news and were pumped up on caffeine and anger. And the babies were sitting right there, just like, you know, feeding off of it, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, with the pandemic, it's funny because my kids are obviously older. One was in high school and one was in university at the time. And it was awful for them. And then everyone's stories were awful. You think yours is awful, but you hear everyone had it. Like, it wasn't good for anyone. It was just different. Everyone had a bad time, some maybe worse than others, but yeah, it's just different in bad in different ways. Like, my daughter graduated high school during the pandemic and no graduation, no prom. We drove up in the parking lot and someone passed a diploma through the car window and yay, you graduated, you know, and
that's gotta be tough. That's gotta be
really tough. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously people were dying. That's the worst part, and losing jobs and that sort of thing. But there were so many things that, you know, people that were lost. And she lost her last year of hockey because she played rep hockey, and then it was canceled the final season and didn't have that experience either. So there was lots of sad things, but.
Yeah, you know,
I hadn't thought of the little kids and the toddlers. Oh, well, obviously I thought of them, but not just you know, how it would impact them, like you say, watching, sitting at home, growing and learning and watching this unfold as their first sort of formative experience. It's kind of crazy.
Yep. My oldest, who's 6, right? The pandemic lasted it's still going on, but if anything, the numbers are actually on the rise again. But I don't know how it is up there, but you know, we never really complained about the masks. You know, we didn't really like it, and it was like, oh, I complained about it a little bit to my wife, but never around my kids, right? Mm. And we're at the Calgary Zoo, and you had to be double vaccinated to get in and wear a mask once you were in there. And it was like, make it make sense, right? Like, I'm already vaccinated. You know, I get it. I whatever it is, what it is. Their rules, their sandbox, we're just playing in it. So we're in the penguin enclosure and my daughter takes the mask off, and the lady right away, like, hey, excuse me, little lady, can you put your mask back on? She's like, no. And the lady's like, can you please put your mask back on? And she's like, sorry, I don't want to. And then the lady looks at us like, can you make her put her mask back on? Like, hey, like, you know, this is where our kids are at with it now, right? Like, we're 3 years into this.
Yeah.
Two years into it, 2.5 years, whatever it was. And this is just where our kids are at. She was she's 6 now. She was probably 4 at the time, right? Where my youngest is now. So, you know.
You try and tell a 4-year-old to do something that they don't want to do. Good luck with that, right? Because I had my younger one, like, she wouldn't wear shoes until she was about 5, right? I can't imagine making her wear a mask. Like, it would not have happened. Like, oh my God, every time I saw a toddler in a mask, I thought, oh geez, Elizabeth would not have worn that mask. So, yeah.
Where do you see the podcast, your podcast, heading in the future? Do you eventually want to morph into like history of the 2010s?
Yeah, it's funny. No, not really. No.
No.
But currently, I have no plans to like wrap up history of the 90s. I keep track of all of the requests I get from listeners, and I have a spreadsheet with probably 175 topic ideas. And I only publish twice, you know, every other week. So that could last me a long time. So I don't know if, you know, how long the podcast will last in terms of my partnership with Chorus. Who knows, right? But I hope that it will last for a long time, because there's lots of topics still to cover. I'm still having fun doing it. I do often think about other podcasts I'd love to do, but just don't have the bandwidth at the moment to do anything on top of doing history of the 90s, because I don't want to give up history of the 90s. But I, you know, there are other topics and things I'd love to cover. that don't really fit into that format. So who knows, at some point I might get the energy to step out and do something different. But for now, it's all 90s all the time.
Am I allowed to ask what else is on Kathy's mind? Like what else does Kathy think about when she's not thinking about the 90s?
Oh my God. So many things. My brain is like a disaster. It's just all over the place. But I do a lot of work at a food bank in our community, and I'm there 3 days a week. And I've often thought about doing something that would really educate people about what food banks, what role they play in the community and the people that use them. Obviously, I thought of this even before the pandemic, but it, you know, because there's a lot of misconceptions with people about who the people are using food banks.
Absolutely. It's people like you and me.
For sure. Now it's insane. And with the cost of food, it is just insane. You know, how many people are stretched beyond their means. And yeah, and like just some of the comments people make, like, you know, why? Because people will say to me, what should I donate? And I say, you know, sometimes I'll say pet food is a good thing to donate to the food bank. And they'll say, why would I donate pet food? Like, if you can't afford groceries, then you shouldn't have a pet. And I'm like, seriously? First of all, sometimes people lose their jobs or get in an accident. Are they supposed to put their pet down because now they can't afford their pet? They have children. Like, and anyway, why are we judging? Why are we asking questions? If that's what people need, like, let's meet them there with what they need. So anyway, so that's sometimes why I think about a podcast that would educate people more, but in a way that, you know, that you could get to know the people who use food banks and the reasons they're there and how they got there and why they're there and how it helps them. Because, you know, I want people to be able to understand where, when they're donating, where it's going and how it's helping, so that people will keep donating and helping and volunteering. So, yeah, that's one of the things that I've thought about. But then there's just other things that have come up, like individual stories. This is a story I didn't cover on History of the 90s, but I covered it on History of 1995. There was a story in Ontario, in Oshawa, where some boys disappeared in Lake Ontario. And they were teenagers. They had spent a night drinking at a party, and then they went down to the docks and they took off in like a couple of pedal boats and a few other things. I think there was five of them, and they disappeared. Nothing was ever found, not their shoes, not a hat, not one of the vessels that they were in. They just disappeared.
It's weird.
Yeah. And so it's a story that I've always wanted to look into more. Not that I think that I can find them or anything, but to try to find out what really happened, because there were a lot of rumors and innuendo at the time. It happened in 95 about, you know, where they went. Like, some people had said they were involved in the drug trade and they went across Lake Ontario to Rochester, New York, and disappeared in New York, which is highly unlikely because they were teenage boys. And there was, like I said, I think there was five of them. We would have heard from one of them, but it was just weird that nothing turned up, like nothing washed ashore. So it was, it's a mystery. And I feel like also it's something that might be able to be solved with some new technology, like radar technology. Maybe there have been people that have suggested it, but it costs too much money to try to find. Cause one of the vessels they were in was like this big, it looked like a big tricycle, and it had like a big, like a big wheel on the front of it, and you could pedal it on top of the water. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know what they're called, but you know, maybe it's there under the water. Like, maybe it could be found and there could be some answers. Who knows? Anyway, that's something, another thing. So I'm all over the place. Like I said, my brain is.
Have you heard of those guys on YouTube that actually like go searching? They have a whole channel for it. It didn't start off as a YouTube channel.
Oh yeah.
They started off just by, like, you know, filming this kind of stuff, and people would call them in to go look at dives, like crash sites or whatever under the water. Like, I think we found something down here, and they end up finding people's family members that have been missing for decades.
See, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're on YouTube. I can't remember the name of them, but they're on YouTube. They start making money off of it. And I think I can't remember their name. But the money that they've gotten off of, they've poured back into.
Right. Because it's expensive. Yeah. Oh, interesting. I'll look that up because that's what really I think needs to happen. And there's family members that I think the night they disappeared, it was March 17th, 1995. So I think every year, March 17th, there are family members that go down to the lake at Lake Ontario in Oshawa to remember the boys. And I think they're referred to as the Lost Boys. It was like, again, it was big news at the time in Ontario, but it's just something that, you know, a mystery that hasn't been answered.
Yeah. That sounds wild. You know, maybe we could like team up together. I'll put that clip out and send it to them and be like, hey guys, gotta get over here. We need people out in Oshawa right now.
There you go. Yeah.
That's pretty wild. See, this is what I love about you and your podcast, right? Is like, I learned things that I didn't know would happen in the 90s. The 90s was a pretty fascinating decade, right?
How I always describe it is like we, at the beginning of the 90s, I was working at a radio station in Toronto and we were using typewriters and fax machines. That was like the extent of the technology and reel to reel audio, like, you know, everything was on reel to reels. And then by the end of the decade, when I stopped working in radio, you know, we had the internet, we had email, and we had digital audio. So it, in 10 years, it completely, the technology, everything was completely revolutionized. And it doesn't happen like that very often anymore, where it goes from, you know, analog to digital, basically in 10 years. So it was definitely a crazy time.
Definitely. What's been your favorite story that you've covered like throughout the whole thing, right? From episode one to what episode are you on now anyway?
Well, we ended up, that's a good question. We just passed 100. That's probably the easy answer. We just passed 100 of, I think, last in the fall. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. Tough question. What is my favorite? Well, I would say one of the fun ones that I did was on The Simpsons because I interviewed Yardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson, and she was amazing and sounded exactly like she sounds on the show, but very, and she hosts a podcast with her husband, boyfriend, who is a retired police officer. And it's, and I think he has a twin who's also a police officer, and it's like a true crime kind of solving cases kind of podcast. Anyway, so she was just getting into podcasting, and as a way to promote their podcast, she was offered to come on ours, and which was great because, you know, in my opinion, she's huge, super famous, hugely successful voice actor. And she was so gracious and kind, just like, probably been asked the same questions a million times, like, what's your favorite Simpsons episode? Or, you know, like, and she's been saying it, talking about it for 35 years or whatever. And she was just so sweet. And then another time I spoke with Donovan Bailey, the Olympic runner, who lives close to where I am. And he also was starting a podcast at the time. So that sometimes that's when you can get people to come on your podcast because they want to promote theirs. But again, he was really fun because he was talking about, you know, a time that we all remember when he won and the relay team won at the Olympics. So that was really fun. But there's been so many that, you know, I'm a big fan of Nirvana and grunge music. So, you know, delving into those stories were really fun. And I spoke to Alan Cross, who's the host of The Ongoing History of New Music. And it's been around for, I feel like, as long as I've been around. But he's been doing it first on radio, and then it became a podcast with Curious Cast, which is the network that I'm on. And so he graciously agreed to talk about grunge music, which was so much fun because he's kind of like a radio god in the air, in sort of the circles that I was in when I was in radio. So that was really cool too.
That is cool. One of my favorite ones is the JonBenet Ramsey episode. No matter how many times you look at the JonBenet Ramsey case, you listen to it, you watch it, it's just like something doesn't add up, and it's not the same thing that didn't add up last time, right?
It's
always something different, right? And oh,
that is puzzling. that That is a puzzler, isn't it? And it's one of those ones that I think people could talk about endlessly. So it is like, that's the hard part about the podcast is sometimes I'm like, some of the really high profile stories from the 90s, I'm like, do people really want to hear about it or talk about it again? Like even OJ, right? But there are just some stories that people cannot get enough of. So, you know, there's been a few things. I haven't done like the rap, the East Coast, West Coast rap war, which is a great story. Yeah, like Tupac and Biggie. But it's one of those ones where I have to feel sort of inspired to tackle it because it's one of those ones that's so big that I don't know how to approach it yet. So I'm just waiting for it to be inspired to talk about it. But like, and OJ, like I did that story, but it was a little different. It was more about like, I don't know if you listened to that one, but I went to LA during the OJ, just at the verdict.
Yeah. So, yeah. I remember you saying that in the podcast. Yeah.
So I just did an episode using old tape that I had also saved because clearly I'm like a pack rat. And I had all the tape from the day I was in LA and all the people and the reaction from the people outside the courthouse. And then I went to OJ's house and we were standing on the road outside his house. So I had all the tape from that. And so it was more of a look back at the verdict day and what it was like, which was a fun one to reminisce about too, because it was a crazy experience. You can hear my dog. He's yipping because it's getting close to his dinner time.
I also really enjoyed the one about the rave. The rave scene.
Yes, how, that was like fun. Yep.
Underground, it was underground, and then it reemerged again during COVID, right? And,
yeah.
You know, true. Like I didn't know that. I didn't know that it reemerged during COVID. People were looking for a way to get out and get loose.
Yep.
And yeah, that was pretty neat too. Like, yeah,
that was a fun one because I interviewed Scott Turner, who was the program director at a radio station I worked at in the 90s, Energy 108, which was a dance station. And like they were huge into raves. And I have to admit, I was like the total outsider because first of all, I was like the news girl at the station. So, you know, I was not part of the cool DJ crew. Yeah. But also I grew up listening to like, I'm more into rock music and, you know, dance music. I was like, oh, it's fun working here. But like, I'll be honest, I never went to a rave. So I was kind of the outsider there. But Scott Turner was one of the best bosses I ever worked for. He was amazing. And all I remember, and we talked about it in the episode, is he sent out a memo, like an actual hard copy memo, because they still, you know, we didn't have email. And he advising people about ecstasy and what, you know, if you're going to take ecstasy on one of your, you know, gigs that you're doing for the station, it's like, what? Like, even then I was like, what? He's like, these are some things you should keep in mind. And it was just like an explainer on how to take ecstasy properly when you're working. And so I had to remind him of that. And he was like, oh yeah, I still have a copy of that memo. Cause I guess it was a big thing. Cause, the DJs would all go DJ at different raves and gigs and stuff. And I guess everyone was doing ecstasy. So they needed to know. I guess that's a good boss. I don't know. Maybe he was the best boss or the worst boss. I don't know. You decide.
Experiment a little.
Yeah. Actually, he was an amazing boss. He was a really nice person. So he came on and talked about the rave scene. So that was really fun.
What I really like about the podcast scene, right, is – and I just learned this the other day. There are only 200,000 registered podcasts right now in the world. Only 200,000 registered podcasts in the world right now.
Registered? What do you mean?
I don't know what they meant by registered, but like maybe there's unregistered ones. I have no idea. But
because only 200,000? Because I thought there were millions of podcasts, but I think maybe a lot of them are dormant. So they're out there, but they're not recording new episodes. So maybe that's what active. The 200,000 active. That's it. So
200,000 active ones. Yeah. Yes. So 200,000 active ones that are updating at least bi-weekly, right?
Yes. Yes. That makes sense.
And I put one out every week, once every Tuesday. I had some troubles with this week's episode. It almost didn't go out. It usually goes out around 4:30 in the afternoon. When I got it figured out, I didn't want to deal with it anymore. I hit publish and it's up now. So it's out.
Yeah.
And I don't want to deal with it anymore. Right. So like, leave me alone. It's out now. And so 200,000 of them. And that's pretty crazy. And, you know, the average podcast only makes it to episode 20 before they pack it in.
Yes.
Right. And that's
yes.
So episode 100 for you. This will be episode 61 or 62 for me. And I've been posting every week for, well, I have a few, I have like four bonus episodes or so. Okay. So what, 65-ish weeks now I've been posting for once a week. And, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, it's, you know, good for you. Congratulations on 100. That is outstanding.
Thank you. And of course, you know, it's because of listeners that, you know, keep reaching out and letting me know that they're listening, that I can put out 100 episodes. So I feel very grateful that I'm able to keep doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want to take up too much of your time there, Kathy. Your dog wants to get
me. That's okay. He's half Chihuahua. So he like literally talks all the time. He's like just yipping all the time anyway.
All right. That's the Taco Bell dog, right?
So, yeah, exactly.
Adam Sandler has a song about that. You know, I got lost in the fog. I ran over the Taco Bell dog, right? It's a good song. It's great. It's like Weird Al of his.
I guess
at the same time, but
that's funny.
Yeah. Can you give us a hint of any, like, you know, future, like soon?
Absolutely. I'm just publishing one on a, you can tell your friend who likes the serial killers type stories. It's coming out this week on Amazon tomorrow. And then next Wednesday, it'll be out in my feed because it publishes on Amazon a week early. About the Yosemite Park killer from 1999. If you're not familiar with the case, it's fascinating. Because there were four women that were killed in the park, but the person who ended up being the killer, his brother was actually abducted by a serial, not killer, but like a psychopath who abducted his brother and held him for 7 years. It was one of those cases where, and then he was released, or he escaped he was held from when he was seven till he was 14. And then he escaped and came home. And then it's kind of not related to what, but it's just a fascinating sidebar, because then his brother grows up to become a serial killer. Anyway, gotta listen to it. It's like,
wow.
It's too crazy to be made up. Like, it's just such a crazy story. So that's coming up. And then I'm working on one right now about a show that was on the air in the early 90s, an animated a kids show on YTV and ABC called Reboot.
Oh, and I know Reboot.
Do you know Reboot? Okay. Yeah. So I'm just working on that one right now, because there's two filmmakers in Vancouver who are currently making a documentary about Reboot. And they graciously, they're also listeners of the show. So they graciously reached out to me and said, hey, let's do kind of like work together on making an episode on Reboot. So that's coming up.
Dot and Eddie. Was it Eddie was one of them? Dot, Eddie.
Enzo.
Enzo. They're in the mainframe.
Yeah, they're in the mainframe.
The virus, his name that drooped was like
Megabyte.
Megabyte. Wow. Yeah. That's from the past there.
Yeah.
Wow,
so that's fun. And it's cool because the guys who made Reboot, they're British animators. They came to Vancouver to make it in Vancouver, but they made their name in the 80s making the Dire Straits video Money for Nothing, which was, you know, like, I'm older than you. So in the 80s, that was such a huge video, and it was such a monumental, you know, achievement at the time, because it was like a CGI music video. And then anyway, these guys went on 10 years later to create the first CGI animated kids show. So it's pretty cool like that. And it was done in Canada. So that was cool.
I remember the reboot. It wasn't very good.
Yes. Yes. I'm not going to get too much into that, but yeah, sadly it wasn't very, very well received, but. Oh, another, sorry, I'm just no making worries. Me remember. Another show that I liked working on was, we did one on The X-Files, which was a show I loved in the 90s. Yeah.
I listened to that.
It reminded me of that because that was such a great show. So it was fun to work on that.
It's so hard to remember all of them, right? Well, for me, but you, nobody knows your content like you do, right? But
Sometimes people have repeated things back to me, and I was like, did I say that? I don't remember saying that. But it's just like, some of them blur together. So, but yes, there are others that are, stand out more.
The one you just recently did about the summer music festivals, the Warped Tour, that one brought back some feels, you know. I was like, Blink-182, right? And then it was kind of like, I kind of knew where you were going with it as you were going there, right? Yeah, and then Ozfest and oh man, Blink-182, like that was crazy. I can't believe like all that came out of
I never went to Lollapalooza or Ozfest or Warp, but I did go to Lilith Fair 2 times, of course. That was more my speed, I guess, but did love Lilith Fair. Saw Sheryl Crow there and Dixie Chicks and
the Chicks.
Now the Chicks. Yeah. I didn't know who they were. They were very new, and they came up on stage and they sang Earl's Gotta Die, or Earl, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that is the best song I've ever heard.
Goodbye, Earl. Yeah.
Goodbye, Earl.
Me and Gord from the Second Act podcast, and someone else, I think it was just my friend Shelby, we were all like kind of like, they don't know each other, they weren't talking, but like it was about the same day, and I had referenced something, and Gord's like, well, Kathy said on the Girls of the Country, and I was like, man,
right,
and I was talking to Shelby, and she's like, hey, did you know that they didn't really want women to be featured back to back? And I'm like, I learned that yesterday. Yeah. Right. You know, like,
I feel like I'm part of your conversations. That is so fun.
You come up a lot in the podcast. On my podcast. Yeah. People ask what some of my favorite shows are, and I talk about it, and always History of the 90s is always.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. It's like, I think you need like a little, like a Hey Siri, but you can just go, Hey Kathy, whenever you have a question about the 90s, like just a little device on your desk, and you just go, Hey Kathy, who was blah, 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 and then I'll.
Hopefully now answer. That you and I have open dialogue, right, on Instagram, I'll just give you a message whenever there I have a question about the 90s, right?
There you go. Yep, absolutely.
Where can people find you in the podcast? I guess, yes. You know, where on the internet are you?
So History of the 90s is the podcast, and it is everywhere you stream audio. And currently I'm on only 2 social media platforms actively. I am on Instagram at That 90s Podcast. And then I'm also on TikTok now it's at 90s Podcast.
I'll be following you there as soon as we're done here. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've given up on X/Twitter and Facebook, disabled my account. I'm off Facebook. And anyway, so it's good though, because now I'm just kind of focusing on Instagram and on TikTok, because it does get kind of cumbersome when you're trying to remember to do everything, but anyway.
I know that. I move my content all around the internet, so I'm everywhere. I want to thank you for your time. I have one last question. You know,
absolutely,
I like to end the pod this way all the time, and you know, Mount Rushmore has 4 of the most influential people in American history or history up on the rock. If you could have your own Mount Rushmore with 4 people that you look up to, aspire to be, or that inspire you, who would they be and why?
Oh my goodness. Okay. And they can be from all different, like they don't have to be all musicians or all podcasters or whatever.
They could be dead, alive, fiction, nonfiction, anybody.
Okay. I'm thinking, but I'm going to say, don't laugh though either. Okay.
No, of course not.
Oprah. Cause I love Oprah.
Shout out to Oprah. You get a car. We all get a car.
And I know, you know, whatever. I take it as it is. Bono is my favorite person on earth.
Gordon and I, we love you, but we have to disagree.
I can't even talk about how people don't like Bono anymore. And anyway, I've been a lot.
It's not Bono.
It's not Bono.
It's not Bono. It's you two in general. This is your Mount Rushmore.
Okay. So far, I'm losing Oprah, Bono, and so this is where I run into trouble. Who else would I put up there? Well, right now, my favorite podcaster is Nora McInerney. Dick Frost. Other than Dick Frost, Nora McInerney. She has a podcast called Terrible Thanks for Asking. And I just love everything about her and everything she does on the internet. I love. So I'm going to put her up there because that's who I'm, you know how you go through phases. That's who I'm currently in love with. So she gets to get up there. And
terrible. Thanks for asking.
Terrible. Thanks for asking. I don't, it's also about grief. So you might think I have a problem because two of my favorite podcasts that I've mentioned are about grief. Yeah. And I'm not grieving anything. I don't know. I just find it fascinating.
I'm grieving my hair and my youth.
Yeah, that's true. And then, okay, so then I'll pick Joan Didion too as an author because she was a cool lady with a cool Corvette. I don't know if you've ever seen the picture of her standing in front of her like Stingray Corvette with a cigarette in her hand and big sunglasses on in the 60s. And, you know, she was friends with Jim Morrison and blah, blah, blah. So it's just like, obviously she's an amazing writer as well. But so yeah. I'm going to put Joan Didion, Nora McInerney, Oprah, and your favorite 80s singer Bono.
so
can we do a second podcast where we talk about Bono?
We can do that.
I'm just kidding.
You know, we can do that. I'll talk to you anytime you want to come on. I don't care.
Yeah.
So I think the reason why so much of my generation and Gord, who's not my generation, we don't really like U2. They forced their album onto our phone.
Oh my God, get over it. Everyone, that's all they say. It's like, my God, get over it. And so it was, they made one mistake in their whole career. And I recently read Bono's memoir, and if I'm remembering correctly, he did talk about that. And he has a reason that I can't remember right now of why it happened. And he made it appear like it wasn't U2's fault, like maybe it was Apple's fault.
Oh, maybe it's Apple we don't like.
Exactly.
Maybe this hate has just been misplaced this whole time.
I think so.
Now I need to go on a big apology tour to Bono.
Absolutely. So go back and like listen to some of their, you know, earlier albums and you'll get a better feel for Bono.
so why is Oprah on there? Like what does
Oprah?
She do for you? Yeah. Oh, besides it being Oprah, she's pretty incredible.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman. But it's, in all seriousness, when my kids were born, I spent a lot of time on mat leave watching Oprah. And I just found her show really inspiring and very, like, comforting at times. Like, like you had a friend, like, and you know, someone who you could listen to and talk to. Or whatever, you're not talking to her, but you know, you're listening to, and you just feel like someone in one time a day for an hour that is talking about something that you find interesting. And I don't know, I just always connected with her. But, and I know she's way over the top. I am well aware of that she's way over the top, but she's a very, very interesting person who has, you know, like, just like Taylor Swift has a big impact on, people and the economy and the world. So
shout out to Taylor Swift. My daughters are watched football this year. My wife is a big Kansas City Chiefs fan now. She made, I don't know if you saw the Cetaphil commercial. That was the first commercial I saw from the Super Bowl ads. And it was a little girl putting Cetaphil on her face and getting ready for the big game. And her dad's, he didn't tell you the big game at first, but her dad's sitting on the couch in his jersey, like looking. She's getting ready, putting Cetaphil like right here, like it was war paint, right? And like, And then, you know, she went and cuddled into her dad and they watched the game together.
Oh, right? I didn't see that. That's adorable.
Yeah. And, you know, I think she brought in like, what, half a million or half a billion? I don't know what number that was. That's quite a large.
That's crazy. Debt,
but she brought in that much money to the NFL, whose ratings were down this year. And she helped bring them back up, you know. And I don't know if you've seen the memes circulating the internet with Travis Kelce pushing Coach Reed.
And
I don't know if you listen to the Mean Girls podcast, but they're having a heyday with it. They're like, oh, Travis Kelce's red flag and yada, yada, yada. And
that's people, ridiculous.
Yeah. People saying Taylor Swift now has an abusive boyfriend.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. And the coach has already gone on media to say, no, like it was all completely acceptable and he just caught him off guard and he lost his footing. Like people are acting like he attacked a you know, it's elder abuse or something. It's so ridiculous.
What I saw from that was Coach Reed had pulled him out right? Hey, no, right? And the team was struggling at that point, right? Mm-hmm. They needed some passion. They needed some fire. He pulled them out, and it ignited. It ignited Travis Kelce, right? It ignited the team. Travis Kelce got passionate in that moment. If you know anything about sports, that was passion. He got passionate. That was emotions. That's the biggest sporting event in the world.
Yep.
Right? You know, emotions are running. Testosterone is like flying everywhere, right? He fired his team up. What happened after that? He hits the field. They go out there. They win the thing, right?
Absolutely. And if the coach has no problem with it, then it wasn't a problem. If it was out of line, the coach would have said it was out of line, but it wasn't out of line. It was absolute pure passion, and he just caught him off guard and he stumbled. It wasn't like he attacked him. It's just ridiculous. I know I've been seeing things on TikTok about red flagging him, and it makes me crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Kathy, I gotta say thank you for coming
on.
This is huge to me. I'm still fanboying, you know, I love this. It's great. You're amazing. Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
A podcast game, man. It needs you. You got 170 ideas in the bank, you said.
Yeah.
When you finish all those 170 ideas, I'll help you find more.
Okay. Awesome. I will. I'll come to you, but, I might be retiring by then. You never know. But no, I'm probably
not.
I know, right? Because when you're doing something that you love, it's not really a job. So I'm not going to really, I don't need to retire from it, because I absolutely love doing this podcast and talking with people like you. So thank you for reaching out to me.
If you do retire, I know someone that is more than willing to take your spot.
Okay.
I'm right here. I got experience in the podcast game.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Okay. All right. You're on my list.
Kathy, stay frosty.
Thank you.